Well, amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight, and what a blessing it's been just being in the house of the Lord once again. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you look with me to the book of Judges in chapter 7, Judges in chapter 7, as we're going to get back into our series and our study on the life of Gideon, and it has been a tremendous study as we have been looking at Gideon, this champion of the underdogs, a man that didn't have any in particular talents or abilities, but God called him, and God called him and called him a mighty man of valor. Surprised Gideon that God seen him in that light, but God saw what Gideon was capable of accomplishing with his faith and trust in the Lord. And it's been just a tremendous blessing looking at the biblical principles that we're able to apply to our lives even today. Judges chapter 7, we're going to be reading verse 9 down to verse 15, going over a few verses here that we studied last time we was here in the study of Gideon. So if you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. Gideon, or Judges chapter 7, starting in verse 9. The Bible says, "And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it unto thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurah thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Phurah his servant unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude, and their camels were without number, as a sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, Behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, This is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Now in verse 15. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshipped and returned into the host of Israel and said, Arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you once again, it is a blessing to be in the house of the Lord. It's a blessing to be able to have this opportunity, and those that are here took advantage of the opportunity to be in church. I pray for each one, God, that you would help us to put everything else out of our hearts and minds and get the most out of this hour by being able to receive what you have for us. Pray that you would empower the preaching and the teaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So the life of Gideon. 32,000 came out to fight against 135,000 Midianites. That's saying something right there. Gideon was instructed to send 31,700 out of the 32,000 home. So that would leave 300, and with his 300, he would go up against 135,000 trained soldiers. Now, up to this time, Gideon had requested God to give him signs. I think we've studied that, and we said a little bit about the signs three times, though. First of all, we find over here in chapter 6, if you look there with me, in verse 17. Now, Gideon was asking for signs to confirm what God had called him to do. He needed a reassurance of God's will. That's what Gideon was doing here. And so we find here the first time was in chapter 6 and verse 17. And the Bible says, And he said unto him, If now I have found grace in thy sight, then show me a sign and that thou talkest with me. He wanted to make sure that God had not made a mistake, and he was thinking he was talking to somebody else other than Gideon. Gideon says, I don't really see myself as a mighty man of valor, and so maybe you made a mistake. Maybe it's somebody else that you thought I was somebody else. And so he says, show me a sign that I know it's you talking to me. No mistake. He wanted that confirmation. God gave him that confirmation. Chapter 6 and verse 37 and verse 38. Now he's to take these 32,000 and he's to go up against 135,000. Not very good odds. I need to make sure that it is what you would have me to do. I need confirmation that now that you want to use me to take these 35,000, there are 32,000 against 135,000. And so he says in verse 37, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and if it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so. For he arose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wringed the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. So he had this confirmation. He understood this task. It was beyond human understanding that they could do what God's asking them to do. So he said, I need more confirmation. And so he asked for a third sign. This time in verse 39, and Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me. Don't get upset with me. I have to know for sure. I've got to know. If I'm going to put these men's lives and my life at risk, and we're going to try to accomplish something that is humanistically impossible, I have to know that I have divine intervention. Amen. And so he says, let not thine heart be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. So this is all I'm going to be. I'm not going to ask anymore. I'm going to be satisfied if you just answer this last request and just give me a sign. I pray thee, but this once with the fleece, let it now be dry only upon the fleece and upon all the ground, let it there be dew. Just the opposite. So it's not a coincidence. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. So Gideon said, I've got my answers. I've seen the signs. God has confirmed. Well, now we go to what we've read here tonight. Gideon didn't ask for a sign. He's down now to 300 men. He already said, I'm not going to ask again for a sign. I didn't realize you're going to take 31,700 of the men away. God knew what was going on inside of Gideon's heart and mind, and he was willing to take the 300, but he wasn't quite where he needed to be. God knows when we're where we need to be to accomplish what God has for us to accomplish. So God would now give Gideon a sign without Gideon asking. Did you get that? That when you're reading this right here? He didn't ask for a sign. He somewhat had already said, I won't ask again. you never say never, even to God. But God knew what was going on. And so without even asking God for a sign, God says, I want you to be confident in what I've called you to do. I want you to know that you know that you know. And so he tells him to go down, and he's going to work out all the circumstances. He's going to work out the timing so that Gideon would hear what's on the hearts and the minds of the enemy. verse 11 down to verse 14. And the reason for this is found in verse 11, and he says, "And thou shalt hear what they say, and afterward," once you hear, once you are made aware of what's going on, and it's a sign that I'm given to you, "afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host," to go down to battle, to go down for victory. God says, after this sign that you didn't even ask for, but I knew you have need of it, you'll be strengthened for the battle. Can I tell you this biblical principle that we find here in God working in Gideon's life, and has written it down for us? God would have all believers to be strong in their faith. He would have all believers to be confident in God's call upon our lives. He would have all believers to be encouraged by whatever it is that God has asked us to do, knowing that if God has called me, He has equipped me. If it's God's will, then I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. We find that he had made that clear to Joshua as Joshua would go into the promised land. You don't have to turn there, but Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. As long as you are going and doing what I have called you to do and go where I've called you to go, just look to me and be confident. That which you can't control, I can. The timing of things in our lives is up to God. The things that I cannot do, I don't have to worry about them. God will never ask me to do something that I cannot do. I just got to be full of faith to do all that I can do. I have to have this kind of confidence. I have to have this kind of encouragement. I have to have this kind of strength. The Apostle Paul would say somewhat the very same thing over in the book. And let me just read this to you. You don't have to turn there, but in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, even though I'm going through a lot of heartache, I'm going through a lot of things that I've suffered through, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. I know my heart, I know my commitment to God, no matter what I have to go through. It's not God punishing me, it's not this going on, it's not. I know that I'm right with God," Paul's saying here. "For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." I have this confidence. I have this assurance. I have this confirmation. I have the strength that God has given to me to accomplish what task that lays in front of me. Wow. God would have all believers to be strong in their belief. In knowing this, the thing that we see here with God in dealing with Gideon, and again, biblical principles that we learn and we find them in the New Testament as well, but God does not give signs to unbelievers. You were not won over to Christ by some kind of a sign from heaven. When you asked to see that 50 or 500 foot Jesus, you didn't see that. When you asked, when you land in your bed, "God, if you're real, manifest yourself at the foot of my bed. Speak for me from heaven. Let me hear the voice and I'll get saved." No one's ever been saved by hearing or being given a sign. How do you know that? Because that's what the Bible says. Matthew chapter 12, you can turn there with me. Matthew, because we're going to be here in the New Testament for a few verses here. Matthew chapter 12, that's what the Bible says. God does not give signs to unbelievers. Matthew chapter 12, look at verse 39 and 40. Jesus said, "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign." The sinner wants God to prove himself before he will trust in God. The ungodly wants God to do something more than what he's already done for them to be saved, or they're not going to believe. Trying to tempt God into doing something that God's not going to do, because God cannot and will not be tempted. "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, if they can understand it," which was Jesus being buried for 3 days and three nights and resurrecting on the third day. That's a sign if they will acknowledge it. But most, they don't want to believe it. They won't believe it. We're going to see some of that in just a minute. "For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." That is a given sign to all generations, to all people on planet earth. Whether they understand it or not, and they don't. Most lost people will not understand that. They will excuse that away. But we know the Bible says God's not going to give an unbeliever a sign so that he can believe. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. Verse 29. The rich man in hell. "Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them." If you let someone go from hell, if you let somebody go back and tell them, he said, "No. They have the words of God. They have Moses and the prophets. They have the Bible." And he said, "Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the dead, they will repent." If you send somebody from the dead to a lost man, to a lost brother, they'll repent. They'll get saved. And he said unto him, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets," now this is God, "neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead." Jesus rose from the dead, didn't persuade the lost to get saved. Unbelief will not acknowledge signs. They'll only find reasons to discredit, because Satan is a master deceiver. And he has his grips on the lost. He'll try to get them to ask for something they know that God's not going to do. To test God, to prove God, to tempt God, so that they'll be saved. They discredit, first of all, Moses and the prophets. What is that? They discredit what God has written down and preserved as his holy word. Because that's the basis by which all that get saved are going to get saved. It's based on the Word of God. It's based on belief of the Bible. It's based on belief that there is a God, that he loved humanity, that his sin is only begotten Son. How do we know all that? How do we know that Jesus was the only begotten Son of God? Because the Bible declares it. If they can discredit the Bible, and that's exactly what the lost will do, if they allow Satan to blind them to that place, they will discredit Moses and the prophets. And when they discredit the Bible, then they will discredit the next sign that is all around us. Then any truly intelligent individual will be able to look around and look at nature and say, there has to be an intelligent design that has designed everything that is going on, everything about this world, everything about nature, everything about the design. It's got to be something intelligent. It could not have just evolved. But since they have discredited the Bible, they discredited the biblical account of creation. And even though it's evident The signs are all around us of creation that there's a God. Because they discredit the Bible, then they will discredit creation, and they will have put their faith in man's philosophy of evolution, which has changed quite a few times. They find reasons to discredit the signs that's all around. Starting with the Bible, creation, resurrection. Well, his body was stolen. He was not virgin born. And on and on and on. They discredit what the Bible says about the virgin born Son of God. That he would resurrect, even as Jesus told him before he ever went to the cross. If you read the Bible and understand even history, it is sign after sign after sign that it's real. But once Satan, it's not given to the lost. And if the lost are looking for signs, they'll discredit the signs that are obvious to humanity. They'll discredit prophecy. How can you discredit prophecy when it was written so long ago? How could they have known? And as we look back over the history and we can see prophecy being fulfilled, but you have to believe the Bible. And they'll discredit what the Bible says about the earth having a circular appearance. They'll discredit everything about what the prophecies that have been fulfilled, what the prophets of old said that we now know to be true in history and in science. True proven history goes hand in hand with the Word of God. True proven science goes hand in hand with the Word of God. But if you discredit the Word of God, then you'll discredit every other sign that points to who God is. And even though there's so many signs all around us, the lost will still cry out, "Show us a sign." Yeah. Matthew chapter 16. Jesus said the very same thing. He's looking to them, and they're asking for a sign, and he said, "There's signs all around you. But I'm not giving you a new sign so that you'll believe. I don't give unbelievers a sign so that they can believe." Matthew chapter 16. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And he answered and said to them, "When it is evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red." You look up, you can see the rain clouds, and you say, "You know, I believe it's going to rain." Or you can wait until it's raining and you can say, "I believe it's going to rain." Yeah. Can I make a prediction here? I'm going to give you a prediction here. It's going to get dark. But the darkness will not last. Because after darkness, there will be a light. Yeah. I'm wide, man. I can see into the future. I can know these things. He says, you understand these things, and you understand that it's a sign. That's what he's saying here. When it's evening, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Wow. Signs are everywhere for those of faith. For those of faith that know that God is real, that know that the Bible is true, that know that Jesus Christ was the only begotten Son of God who came to this earth just as it was prophesied. He's the fulfillment of prophecy. He went to the cross of Calvary because not only was it prophesied, he prophesied himself. He told them he would go to the cross and there he would die and he would be buried and he would resurrect on the third day. It was all there. It was signs for all who believe. And we look back and we see that. We said, signs everywhere. How can you not believe? And yet the signs are not given to the lost because they're looking for an error. They're looking to discredit the obvious signs. That's a spiritual blindness. That reveals the reality of Satan himself. And they don't see it, or else they'd get saved. Wow. God reveals signs to the believer to strengthen and inspire. I love that. Gideon, I answered your request for a sign because you needed confirmation. It wasn't that it was to help you to believe. You believed, you just didn't have enough faith. You have faith to know that I'm God. And I gave you confirmation to help strengthen your faith, your strength to follow through with what I've called you to do. After he answered his request for three different signs, God says, I'm going to give you another sign. Because I can see that you're not where you need to be. I can see that you're not where I want you to be. And I'll give signs to increase your faith. I will not give signs to prove myself. So what did it do for Gideon? Verse 15, look back there. What it did for Gideon, it'll do for us. If you get a hold of this and understand this, and it was so when Gideon heard the telling of the dream. I mean, the light bulb come on as bright as it could be. And the interpretation thereof, that he worshiped. When our faith is strengthened, it will show in our desire to worship. Do you know why you're here on a Wednesday night? Unless there's some other motivation, something else led you to be here, like a parent with your ear, yeah, in hand. You're here on a Wednesday midweek service because of your faith. And along with your faith is a desire to grow your faith. Yeah. And when you have opportunity to understand more about the key to our faith, this Bible right here, which is the first evidence that God gives us, it's a sign of all signs that leads to every other sign that will strengthen us to understand God is real. You have a desire to be here. There's a lot of our family. Let me say, I'm not just saying only those on Wednesday night are spiritual here. Everyone else needs to rededicate their life, confess sin. I'm not saying that. But those that are not here, that don't have a desire to be here, there's a spiritual problem. There's a faith problem. I remember when I was after I got saved and I was committed to serving the Lord. And before I was called into the ministry, I started going to an independent fundamental Baptist church. I couldn't get enough. I wanted to grow my faith. I wanted to hear what the preacher had to say. I wanted to know more about the Bible. I went to every service, Wednesday night included. And the one day that we worked overtime was Wednesdays. I thought, man, I was at work and I'm thinking, I want to be at church. I'm missing out. Everyone else is going to receive something I'm not going to get in on. And I finally went to my boss and I said, hey, I know this is mandatory, but I'm going to be in church. I said, if you want to fire me because of this, he was an uncle, so I don't think he was going to fire me really well. But I said, I can't do the work that I'm supposed to be doing when I'm working out here. I'm thinking about I should be in church. And so I know it, but I'm going to be in church. He said, if you come in an hour early and do this, this, and this, and this, and then that will be able to justify me letting you off when everyone else has to work. But I'll let you off if you do this, this. And I said, hey, I'll readily do all that because I want to be in church. Because I want to grow my faith. Every opportunity I have to learn more about the Bible, and every time I have opportunity to hear the Bible preached, I want to be there. I think that's what God said in not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Not forsaking is not just not being there, it's not having a desire to be there. The desire ought to be there because you ought to desire to worship. That is to fall down at Jesus' feet and receive what he has for us. Acknowledging who he is and the opportunities he's made available to me to learn more about him, I'm going to be there. He worshiped. Desire to be in church. A desire to live to represent Christ. If you know Jesus to be who he is, all the signs are pointing to it, and you say, man, I am full of signs that will give me confidence, that will give me strength in knowing what I believe. And if you know that Jesus Christ is who he said he was, I get to be his ambassador. I get to represent the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and have his presence with me all the time. Who would not want to do that if you truly had the faith to believe? See, if we're going to be faithful, turn that around. I must be full of faith. Faithful. If I'm going to be faithful as a Christian, if I'm going to be faithful as a born-again believer, if I'm going to be faithful, then in order for me to be faithful, I have to be full of faith. And when I am full of faith, I'll take advantage of worshiping him and serving him whenever he opens the door of an opportunity. That's not all he did, though. He worshiped. And then he returned into the host of Israel, his 300 men, and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into, see this right here, your hands. I've got enough faith for all of us. I'm leading this group. You're following me. I want you to know that I've heard from God, and it was his will to call you 300 because God's going to show himself strong. And I've just got back from a sign that God's given to me, and I'm going to relay it to you, and God has delivered into your hands this battle. It's as good as won. Before we ever step another step toward the battle, it's as good as won. He prepared for victory. He prepared for victory. Can I tell you, we need to thank God ahead of time for what He has promised that He will do. If He tells us, if He's promised us victory, give Him thanks for the victory. If you can claim, I mean, if you can look at the Bible and know this is a promise that God's given to you, thank Him for salvation even before you call upon the name of the Lord. He said, for whosoever shall call upon the name shall be saved. That's a promise from God. Claim it. That's something He's given to me. I know that I'm saved because God promised me salvation. I just need to know that I've done what God told me to do, that I need to do to be saved. Amen. If I know that I've done what God told me to do to be saved, I'm saved and I can thank Him for it. Amen. Even if I don't feel saved, I know I'm saved because I followed the Word of God. Thank Him for it. If you thank Him for it, you'll get the confidence. You'll get the assurance. Amen. It'll come. It'll come. Because it's a victory that God's promised you. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Almost done here. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This is practical, good stuff. It really is. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. Paul presents this. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. But this next verse I want you, this next sentence, what he says here. For my strength is made perfect in, if you will, your weakness. Paul says, I know I can't handle this on my own, but I'm confident that God's strength, even though I'm weak, will give me the victory. Yeah, confident. Assured of that, no, not doubting it. Because he would also write to the Philippians and tell them, chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ. I can't do them on my own. I can look at this 300 going up against 135,000. There's no way. But in God, I have faith in God. And my faith in God has given me confidence to know I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. When God gives revelations, or if you will, signs, sometimes we read the Bible, we get a sign through a revelation. God will confirm something as we read the Bible, and we've not seen it there before, but now I've read it, and I'm able to make an application, and it just, revelation, sign. Thank you, Lord. I know now this is what you want me to do, because you've just given me a revelation from reading your word, which is a sign. Or God, thank you because I've come to church and the preacher's just hit on something that he didn't even know about, but you knew about, I knew about, and that's exactly what I needed as a revelation or a sign for me to confirm this is your will for my life. Or God, just I happened to run into somebody and I would never have even believed it, but they happened just to say exactly what I needed them to say. I need to hear what they had to say, and it was exactly what I needed. And God, it's a revelation from you and a sign, but it's truth. And now I know, God, you brought that person into my life. You allowed this to happen to me. You did this. You did this. And it's God confirming to us the victory. Not only worship, but the victory. When God gives revelations, it is given to aid and inspire service. It's not given to the lost. Lost are dead to Christ. Once they get saved, then I'll show them some signs to help them along the way. But I'm not going to give them the sign they're looking for to get saved. That's not how God works. They have Moses. They have the prophets. They have the sign of Jonas. Not giving them anymore. But to you who believe, you see signs everywhere. Amen. If you believe this Bible, then you see signs everywhere. You can see God's hand in creation. You can see God's hand in prophecy. You can see God's hand in the local New Testament church. You can see God's hand in preaching. You can see God's hand in almost every area of life. You look around, God is there. Yeah. We're going to close, but 2 Peter chapter 3. This is how the Christian life goes. We learn, we apply, and by applying what you learn, you grow. And then it's repeated. You learn, you apply, and you grow. And then it's repeated. It never stops. And it should never get old. You learn. Why am I learning? Because I believe. And I'm taking advantage of every opportunity God gives me to grow. And once I learn, then I apply and it works. I grow. Then I just learn more. And I apply what I learned and it grows me again. And we continue to grow. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come. Any believer doubt that? The lost will laugh at that. And they'll try to come up with every reason to tell you that's no way that could be possible. That's not going to happen. They'll laugh and mock and scorn. They'll discredit the Bible, the teachings of the return of Christ. But believers know this to be true. But the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now the next verse. Focus on this. Seeing then. Do you really see that? I mean, do you have enough faith to be able to see that happening? Do you have enough faith to know that's Bible prophecy? And why should we doubt if all the other prophecies that have been prophesied have been fulfilled leading up to this? Why should we doubt this prophecy being fulfilled? We have the signs of past prophecies. We have the signs of the Bible being true. So the believer says, yes, I believe that. I know that to be a fact. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons, if that's all true, how should we live? What manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversations and godliness? And that's how God designed it. Faith to believe. Faith to learn. All that God has for you to learn, and if you take advantage of opportunities that God brings into your life, you'll learn what God wants you to learn. And once you learn that, you apply that. And once you see yourself applying that, you'll find yourself growing spiritually. You become stronger in your faith. And when you become full of faith, then you can be more faithful. And we continue to repeat that. Learn. You won't learn unless you take advantage of the opportunity God has for you to learn. So you have to learn, take advantage. Once you learn, apply it. And as you apply it, you grow. That's what manner of persons we ought to be. And waiting for the soon return of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. Signs are all around us for the believer to be strengthened in our faith. If I could have every head bowed. Wow. Powerful truth. Powerful truth. Don't let the old devil blind you to your faith. Don't let him tell you can't. You can. Don't let him lead you away from worship. Be determined to go to worship. Because worship is taking advantage of opportunities. It's through worship that we learn and know how to apply and thereby grow. Not going to have a musical invitation, but there's always an invitation after the Word of God's being preached. If God has spoken to you, if you need to come, we invite you to come. If you want to make an altar out of your pew on Wednesday nights, go ahead and do that. Just acknowledge to God what He has revealed to you. And then commit to fulfilling it. Commit to applying it so that you will grow. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord. Thank you once again for the privilege of being in church on Wednesday night. Thank you for this life of Gideon. God, we have learned so many biblical principles, but I don't know if there's any as important or any more important than what we learned tonight. Thank you, God, for knowing us, knowing when we need a sign, a touch, a message, an inspiration, a revelation. Thank you for them. Pray that as we receive them, we will give you thanks and make whatever application necessary. I pray that you'd watch over us as we get ready to leave here tonight. Get us home safely and bring us back at the next appointed hour. In Jesus' name we pray.